Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up today, George. He's listening in Tacoma, Washington. Hi, George.
Hi, Hank. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to say that I'm a member of a grief share class here in Tacoma, and I just wanted to thank you real briefly. Last night, you were featured quite a bit on the DVD that we watched at our grief share class. And I thought you had some real great wisdom to pass on, so I wanted to thank you for that.
Well, bless you. Thank you.
My question was, after we had watched that DVD at the grief share class, one of the ladies was a little concerned. She had lost her husband a year ago after, I think, 52 years of marriage, so she's pretty early in her stages of grief, but her question was to the group, and maybe you could answer this better for us. She was very concerned about the fact that she says every day she pretty much talks to her husband, her late husband, or yells at him for dying on her or something like that. And, you know, that she, when she's going through paperwork, she's saying, you know, gee, Bob, I wish you were here to help me, or why did you leave me? And so she was feeling, after some of the things that you had said on the grief share, she was a little concerned that maybe she was putting her faith in the wrong place. And so I wanted to kind of get your feel on when people lose a loved one, especially a spouse, and we kind of talk to them during the day. And I lost my spouse 7 years ago. But anyway, she was feeling like, well, maybe I'm sitting here and doing the wrong thing by kind of talking to my husband during the day. So I just want to get your take on that.
Well, I think, and you have sort of alluded to this in the prologue to the question, I think it's very, very natural to do these kinds of things. My dad died in 1997. My mother was constantly in that mode. And whenever I talk to her, she says, I have such a hole in my heart. And she said, oh, Dad, why did you have to leave? She calls him Dad. And so it's a constant yearning for the love that she shared with my dad for so many years. So I don't think it's abnormal to do that, nor do I think that it is a sin to do that. I think it is a very natural thing to do that. But I think we also have to look beyond all of this. And I said this to my mother all the time. You are going to be with Dad again in eternity. That is an absolute certainty. And the relationship that you will share in eternity will transcend the relationship that you have shared even in this world. And they had a love affair for many, many years. If two people were ever in love, it was my mother and father. So you, on the one hand, can understand what's going on. On the other hand, you have to point beyond what's going on and remind whoever the person is, that there is going to be a time in which you are restored to intimacy and fellowship, and that intimacy and fellowship is going to transcend again what you've experienced in this time-space continuum.
Yes. And I don't know when that was filmed, Hank, but you looked very good and healthy, and thank you. It was good to see you on the DVD, and I appreciate Grief Share and what they do, but I appreciated your words on heaven and what heaven will be like, and I think you shared a little bit on reincarnation and all of that. So thank you for also jumping into that side where people are hurting, Hank, and I hope you have a very blessed day today. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much for your call and for your kind words. I had actually forgotten that I'd done that for Grief Share, but I'm glad it is being used for God's glory and for the extension of His kingdom. Abe is next in Petersburg, Virginia. Hi.
Hi. And what I wanted, along with my question, is about this statement. I consider myself a longtime Christian, but I have always been homosexual. And now let me clarify that. I am attracted to males, like some people are attracted to red as their favorite color, as an example. I wrestled with it for a good many years, and this is what the Lord showed me, and I want to know how this meets with you. So we're homosexual, but the difference is, do you do homosexual things? Because, you know, you think what you think. You like what you like, good, bad, or ugly, and we're all sinners. And the Lord has shown me, yes, the difference is, and this is for many younger, I'm 84, for many younger homosexual people, it is not that they are homosexual, it's how they behave as a homosexual. Because, you know, how can you help liking red if you like red, or blue if you like blue? But it's what you do that matters as far as it relates with God. A Christian can be homosexual, but a Christian can make a choice what he does, because we're all sinners. So when we come to the cross of Christ, for homosexuals, you cannot act in homosexual ways and then say you are a Christian. You can be a homosexual, but then do Christian things. In other words, imitate Christ and utilize the 1 John 1:9. We all fail somewhere along the line, because ultimately God is going to renew us. But this is how the Lord has shown me through his word that I dealt with it. I cannot deny I'm attracted towards males, but I don't do gay things. Does that make sense to you?
Well, not only makes sense, I couldn't have stated it any better than you just did. I mean, homosexuality is not an identity, it is a behavior. And I think that you have rightly classified it, but also given us a great insight in terms of how we should respond. We all have our particular predilections and sinful directions. And the fact of the matter is, when we sin, when we follow those predilections, we do precisely what you said. We ask the Lord to forgive us, recognizing that he's faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yeah, the church is responsible also for what is happening within these new sexual identities and so, because they never really addressed it. It was always taboo. You never, and I've gone to all kinds of churches. I was raised as a Roman Catholic, but I've gone to all kinds of churches in all my years, and I dealt with Christians from various levels. You know, I've never gone to school or anything, but I study the scriptures regularly. You know, it's my meat. And I have a heart. God has given me a burden and a heart for other homosexual individuals who have never had this question addressed. So, of course, they're confused. And generally, what happens in the world between our Lord and the world is generally responsible that the church is not doing its job. I never heard it addressed, too afraid to say anything to anybody in local churches or fellowships or so. And when you get into the so-called gay churches, well, they just made up their own rules. They can't possibly say they read the scriptures and then say you can have a gay active pastor, minister, or anything else.
Well, you know, another word of wisdom on your part, and quite frankly, I love to let you just keep talking, because what you're saying is so important for the audience to hear. If I could just echo your remarks, I think you're absolutely right to say that the problem is ultimately with the church. If the salt loses its saltiness, how's it going to be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. So
exactly.
I think you've put your finger on it. And, you know, to have an 84-year-old man that has gone through the cauldron of life express this, I think is far more powerful than me saying it myself. So I'm deeply grateful for your call.
I was hoping that you could suggest a forum that I might be able to address some of these things, or at least come in contact with, and you're the only one that really is answering, but these are questions that should have been answered to the church at large. Homosexual,
yes.
Heterosexual, gay, straight, however people are. And what has happened, now you have human beings so totally confused that you have now the general population, you know, it's right out of the devil's cauldron, saying, well, you can decide whether you're male or female by what you think. And genetics no longer are acceptable, you know, as any part of the truth of the matter.
Yeah.
But I will try to address you a letter that maybe we can contact again and I could get some more direction.
Yeah, I would love it. And thank you so much for calling, Abe. I deeply, deeply appreciate this call. I know that many people have been instructed by your words. We've dealt with this subject in many different forums. We did a special edition of the Christian Research Journal on this subject. It includes an article titled When Someone You Love Says I'm Gay, as well as The Transsexual Dilemma, Dialogue About the Ethics of Sex Change. A great special edition of the Christian Research Journal. You can find it online at equip.org. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's flagship publication designed to equip you in doctrine, defense, and discernment. When you subscribe to the journal, you'll receive a magazine that's not only scholarly in its substance, but beautiful in its presentation, easily accessible and relevant, with stunning graphics and rich content written by respected theologians and communicators. The Christian Research Journal is a must-have resource that no Christian home should be without. Start your subscription today. Call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back with more after this. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture.
Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And we go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Ronnie listening in Curtin, Texas. Hi, Ronnie.
Hey, Hank. I read a book not too long ago. It was 90 Minutes in Heaven. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it.
I am.
Okay. And so my question is, can someone truly die and go to heaven and come back?
Well, that's a good question. And of course, this is precisely what Don Piper says. He says that he died back in 1989, and that immediately after he died, he went straight to heaven. And if he is to be believed, he is unique in human history. Now, there are a handful of resurrections that are recorded in Scripture, but none apart from Jesus Christ himself were permitted to record their experience in the text of Scripture. And that's even the case with the great apostle Paul. So in distinction to the apostle, Piper is more than willing to relate his surpassingly great experiences in person as well as in his book. And he seems so convinced that he has had an actual death experience, not a near-death experience, but an actual death experience, that he actually prophesied to a global Christian television audience that because he had already died and people only die once, Jesus would return within his very own lifetime. And even apart from date setting, what is particularly disturbing about Pastor Piper's testimony is his boast that he has been empowered to speak authoritatively about heaven from firsthand knowledge. And the reason I say that's troubling is prior to Piper, only the resurrected Savior has been able to do that. In fact, among the biblical writers who spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, not one of them dared say that he, like his Lord, had been resurrected from the dead and could speak authoritatively about heaven from firsthand knowledge. And nor did any of them dare prophesy the century of Christ's return. So I find this to be an extraordinarily disturbing book, and unfortunately it became a popular movie as well.
Okay, that clears it up for me. I appreciate your show.
Hey, you got it. And I've written about this in a book called Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter and Near-Death Experiences. And when I was writing this book, near-death experiences were so hot. It's always been a cottage industry, but so hot at that time that I included six or so entries on near-death experiences. Again, in the book Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter and Near-Death Experiences, available through the ministry and in bookstores everywhere. Also, I have an entry in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated on near-death experiences, what they are and how we should properly relate to them. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Jonathan in Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I kind of find your program an answer to prayer because I have a 20-minute commute every day and I get to listen to you. And I'd also like to thank you because I feel like you've helped me to draw a distinction between essential issues and secondary issues, and that's been very helpful for me.
Great.
So it really has helped a lot. I have a question. I have a coworker. He goes to a church here in Omaha, and the church is getting ready to be a part of a tri-faith distinctive or a tri-faith effort where they're going to have a Muslim mosque, a Jewish synagogue, and a Protestant church. And they were even at one point in time going to have a Greek Orthodox church to be a part of this group, but they're going to share a piece of land, and it's going to be, they're going to have a park, and each of these buildings are going to be on a different section of this land. And I know that it's wrong to say that we all have the same God, like Jewish, Muslim, Christianity. But I was wondering if it was bad for them if they kept their professions of faith while being on the same property together. And so my friend told me to come with a question because he invited me to a forum. And I'm like, well, I don't really have a question, but I wanted to hear what you thought.
Yeah, well, look, we live on the same planet. The problem, I think, is not that we cannot share with one another, commune with one another, but we have to recognize that there are very significant distinctives, as you have pointed out in the prologue to your question. A Muslim will say that a Christian is committing the unforgivable sin of shirk in saying that Jesus Christ is God. In other words, they have committed an unforgivable sin, a sin that will not be forgiven in this life or in the life to come. Pretty serious charge. A Christian, on the other hand, will say that Muhammad is a false prophet and that he is demonstrably a false prophet. Not only that, but is a very, very poor example in terms of how he treated women and how he treated the whole idea of war, his worldview, and therefore a false prophet who should never be followed. And yet the Muslim Shahada is very clear. You know, there's only one God, Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. So they deny the Trinity, and they're following a false teacher, and a Christian would point that out. A Jew thinks that we are following a false God when we say that Jesus Christ is God as well. So in other words, at the very heart, when it comes to the essentials of the historic Christian faith, there is no way of reconciling these religions. They can all be wrong, but they can't all be right because they all have very significant distinctives. And so now you have to figure out how you can communicate with gentleness and with respect and use every opportunity to do that. But this idea that somehow or other you can homogenize Islam, Judaism, and Christianity is sheer myth. I mean, there's a book out right now. It's called The Myth of the Andalusian Paradise. And one of the great myths that's being communicated in popular culture is this idea that from the time that the Muslims conquered Spain in 711 to the time that they lost control of Spain, right around, I think it was 1462, during that whole time, Muslims and Christians and Jews lived together in perfect harmony. This is the kind of narrative that is being communicated, and it is absolutely false. I mean, if you look at the actual data of what happened during that period, sort of called the Golden Age of Islam, you will see that this was one of the most brutal and bloody ages of all time, in which Muslims were decapitating Christians and crucifying them. And instead of tolerance, the watchword was intolerance. I mean, in Islam, you have three choices. You can either convert and submit to Allah and say the Shahada, or if you're in a Muslim land, you're a dhimmi, which means that you have to pay jizya, which is you have to pay a poll tax, and you are considered a third-class citizen. So in actual Muslim theocracies, this whole idea would be laughed at. I mean, if you go to Saudi Arabia, for example, and I've got a good friend in Saudi Arabia who's a head of a pediatrics ward in Riyadh. He and I walked Harvard Square together, but we could never walk the Kaaba Square together because I'm not permitted there. Nor could I ever pull out a Bible in public and profess the name of Christ in public in Saudi Arabia. You know, I'd be crucified or killed or beheaded. I mean, these are serious crimes in a Muslim theocracy. So the idea that somehow or other these religions can be homogenized, they can't. But we are to treat Muslims and Jews with gentleness and with respect. We are to exhibit love, not hate. And we are to communicate our faith and do that as God gives us opportunities to do that. But the idea that somehow or other, again, that we can all sing Kumbaya and we all kind of worship the same God, and we're all part of the three great Abrahamic religions, and because somehow or other there was tolerance and three religions living in harmony in the past. We could do it in the present is simply buying into myth and a popular narrative in our culture.
Okay. The one thing I felt that, like, for me, when I was talking to my coworker, I'm mature enough to say, hey, these aren't the same. However, he's being drawn into something that he might not be able to, like, if people are saying, hey, this is a great idea, we're all... So for me, being somebody who has the eyes to see or whatever, I can discern, but for him, it could be dangerous, you know?
Yeah, it could be. And where is the danger again? The danger lies with the Christian who does not know what they believe and why they believe what they believe. That's where the real danger is. So the church has been remiss in its disciple making, the making of ambassadors who are able to communicate the truth and love and grace that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. So we need to get back to the task of making reproducing disciple makers.
Thank you very much.
You got it. Appreciate your call, and you can hear from the music. I cannot take any more calls today. We'll see you on the next edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.